Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcoming everyone to a live edition of 410 Sports Talk. I'm Glenn Martin here with my co-host James Haskell, and DK will, of course, be joining us here in just a little bit. We got a big show for you guys tonight with all the talk of the salary cap and the unexpected hike. I mean, it certainly jumped up more than most projections were having it. So we wanted to have someone on who can help break it down because, Jimbo, last time we did a talk about how the Ravens can create additional cap space, I mean, you remember in the pre-show, I'm staring at this stuff like it's Egyptian on my screen, Jimbo. So I'm thankful that we have someone who can get into the numbers and help a dummy like myself understand exactly what the cap space is looking like. But Jimbo, how are you? And tell the folks where you're at, what's going on.
Yeah, I'm driving home from a work event, so I appreciate the flexibility here with you guys hanging out with me. As you know, I've been on the road before, but we're excited. I'm super excited to have this conversation. The other thing I want to say too, Glenn, just to your point, you know, a great philosopher said once, the only thing that I know is that I know nothing. And so based on that, we thought it was important to bring somebody in who knows this stuff inside and out, front and back, way better than us, and really be able to spitball our ideas, conclusions, our, you know, the things that we deduce from what we see and see if they make sense, you know, and understand what the Ravens might be thinking, kind of peel the curtain back a little bit. So I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm really excited about this one.
No doubt. And without further ado, we're going to invite our guest in here. A gentleman by the name of Dan Reese, who calls himself an aspiring football data analyst. But tonight we're going to call him our cap expert. So without further ado,
aspiring nothing. You are the expert tonight, my man.
That's right, Dan.
All right. Dan, sounds good, guys.
Thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate your time. I know, you know, everyone's time is valuable. So thank you for spending some time with us and helping, you know, make Ravens fans a little bit smarter. So I guess where we'll start is there's a lot of confusion because when people saw the number jump from up to 255, when the expected number, at least a lot of the capologists were kind of putting their guesses on 245 as like a safe guess when they were trying to predict what it would jump to. It jumps to 255. So what does that jump mean for the Ravens? I mean, I know it's not just the Ravens getting that jump. Of course, it's the entire NFL. So what does the cap being put at 255 mean for the Ravens, and how much space do they have as it's currently constructed?
Yeah, absolutely. Excited to be here, guys, to talk about this first off. And, you know, with the 255, that was a big thing, especially for Ravens fans. You know, Ravens are in the bottom portion of the league as far as cap goes and cap situations. So that extra $10 million was really big for those teams, including the Ravens. It benefits them more so than teams with additional cap and cap room, right? You can only spend so much. So it's really big for a team like the Ravens, which is kind of on the edge and going to have some tough decisions. So what I will say overall is that they're going to have some tough decisions this offseason. They're going to have some choices to make and we'll see kind of where they want to put their cap, put their money, and that'll tell us a lot about what they're thinking this year and in future years. So as far as where things stand right now, with the 2024 cap of $255.4 million, we're still a little bit guessing right now where things stand because the official numbers for 2024 on the kind of the cost side hasn't come out yet. And including some of the numbers about what's rolling over from 2023. So there's a few things that happen in 2023, like if you have an extra cap left over, or if there's the incentives and whether they were met or not, right? There were a number of players on the Ravens that had incentives in 2023 that if they were met, they're going to have an impact on the cap. So you'll see a couple different numbers depending on the site that you look at. So if you look at Over the Cap, which is a great resource for all things cap, they've got the number at $16.6 million right now for the Ravens. Based on what I think and the other numbers I've seen, I think it's probably closer to like $11.8 million. Those numbers are kind of based off of what I've looked at, plus what Brian McFarland, which is he goes by Raven Salary Cap on Twitter and works over at Russell Street. A great follow as far as salary cap goes as well. And the 11.8 versus the 16.6, the biggest difference is those $4 million in incentives that Over the Cap hasn't reflected yet. So I think we know those are pretty likely to hit based off of the numbers from 2023. So it's really, I think, looking at the 11.8 million is the best place to start with right now.
So 11 million. So is that, so the success of what they did last year, that impacts the cap for this upcoming year based on those incentives?
Yeah, actually, so you can have two different types of incentives, and we'll get down into the weeds kind of right away. And you have either likely to be earned or not likely to be earned incentives. If you're likely to be earned, which is means you kind of met that number already, so likely to be earned versus not likely to be earned is based off of whether you hit that stat the year before. So say it was 10 touchdowns, and OBJ only had 8 the year before. So that would not be a not likely to be earned. So the incentive would not hit the 2023 cap, but if he did hit it, you would have to kind of do a reconciliation and adjust the 2024 to reflect that. So it kind of is a little bit complex with the incentives, but there's an adjustment basically between 2023 and 2024 to kind of reflect the performance of players on incentives. So, and I think that's looking like $4 million right now. So
now I appreciate the explanation, but I do want to ask about some player specific stuff. I have some general questions as well, but I can't wait. I'm not a very patient man. We have had some discussion and disagreement. I wouldn't say disagreement, some discussions on what the Ravens should do with, and everyone's talking about it, what they should do with Ronnie Stanley. Yeah, obviously his number is a predicament, to say the least. My question is, if you are counseling the front office, you're sitting down with Eric, from a cap salary perspective, or from a salary cap perspective, excuse me, how are you handling this situation?
Yeah, he's a really tough one. I think I heard you guys talk about it a couple episodes ago. You know, the $15 million is really the what I would say is the important number to focus on. And that's the additional cash that the team is spending for this year. Like, he has a much larger cap number than that. But a lot of that cap number is money that was already spent and it's gone. Like, no matter what you do with him, it's gone. It's going to hit your caps, either cap number either this year or next year. So the thing is to focus on is $15 million. So will he play up to a level of $15 million or not? That's kind of iffy right now. Like, I would say he's right on the fence based off of, you know, how he played at the end of the year and his health concerns, things like that. So unfortunately, the left tackle market isn't great right now as far as free agents go. There's not a ton out there. So if you cut him and got that $15 million to spend, I'm not sure that there's a better replacement out there that you could get for that. And you know, I think you guys have had Cole on, and he's talked a number of times that it's really hard to get a left tackle to start year one. So, I really think they're stuck a little bit between a rock and a hard place and don't have a great option. So what I would do is stick with him this year, I think, and get a succession plan as quickly as you can in this draft. And know that next year, he's likely not going to be around because his cap continues to increase. So I think this year, unfortunately, you're kind of stuck. But, you know, they may see something differently behind the scenes, but that's kind of where I would land. So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I'm going to follow that up if that's all right, Glenn.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jimbo. What's what you got?
Sorry. I had one more player specific. I know we'll get to other player specific ones, but if I understand correctly about Marlon Humphrey's contract and kind of how it is right now, I mentioned this before. Other people have been talking about him being a a potential cap casualty and them parting ways with him and things like that. I don't agree with that. I think there's value there. He's only 27. I think he's shown in the past he can play to an upper echelon type level, and he generally is healthy. But the way that, if I understand his contract right, if they do nothing and stand pat, it's almost like they're signaling this could potentially be it if there's no upcoming restructure, because after that, they're kind of off the hook for the chunk of the money at this point. Am I right in understanding that? And what, you know, how do you see Marlins' situation from your standpoint?
Yeah, so I think this year is the last year where it's harder to make a move for Marlin, and next year becomes more important and easier, like, discussion point. So this year, he's again looking at the new cost, like the new cash. It's just under $12 million, and that's that's the amount of money that if you cut him and look at, like, we focus on cap a lot, right? But really, it's a lot of it is cash, and the cap is just the financial accounting of how to do that. It's just kind of games behind the, you know, of how to allocate that cash. But the real thing, you know, they're talking about is $12 million basically of cash that they're paying him this year. Next year, that jumps to $18 million of cash. So that's a big difference, right? Mm-hmm. So this year, I would say it's hard to replace him for that $12 million of cash with a free agent. And you're already kind of iffy with the depth at cornerback this year. Brandon Stevens had a great year, but, you know, beyond that, it gets pretty thin pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. So, I don't think this is the year to do it, to make any sort of move. What I do think is that he could be a candidate for a restructure. And what we'll get into this a little bit later, but talking about it now a bit, is that what a restructure is just a way of changing the way you classify the payment, whether it's a kind of a bi-weekly salary, to instead turning it into a one-time payment, which you can treat differently for cap purposes. So it's no difference in the amount you're paying him. It's just how you're paying it and the classification of that, which then leads to different accounting. So what I could see is them doing a restructure of some of that $11.75 million and turning that into kind of a bonus that you can then spread across future years to gain some cap space this year. So,
gotcha. Cool.
Yeah. No, and those,
all right,
are...
Glenn, I'll let you get to.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
But my bad.
That's all good. So those are two of the three biggest cap hits on the season, on the team, and of course Lamar leading the way. One thing I want to quickly get a little bit of an explanation on is, how do the void years work, Dan? We saw OBJ get signed to a massive deal, but then they were able to soften some of the cap hits by adding void years. So how exactly does the void years work, Dan?
Yeah, so that kind of ties into the restructure a bit, and it kind of goes with the cap mechanism. So, you know, there's different types of salary and how it's paid. So there's the base salary, and then there's bonuses are kind of the main classifications. Base salary, you have to reflect that the amount you're paying in the same year's cap. So like if you're paid $10 million in base salary, so you're paid that weekly per game, and that $10 million would have to hit the 2024 salary cap. Alternatively, if you are paid the $10 million as a bonus, whether it's a signing bonus or an option bonus, which is kind of just like a signing bonus, but not the first year, then you can spread that across multiple years of cap, and you can spread that across up to 5 years, the lesser of 5 years and the length of the contract. So if you looked at Odell Beckham when he was originally just signed for 1 year, and you give him a signing bonus of $10 million with a contract of only 1 year, you're only allowed to spread that over 1 year. So that doesn't actually give you any benefit. But what you can do is you can add 4 fake years, which are called void years, at the end of the contract, so that you can spread that $10 million across those 5 years. So you're now having $2 million for 5 years in a row. But then what happens is after the year is over, when you know 2023 is over and you get to 2024 and you reach the void year, there's a clause in the contract that says, you know, just kidding, this wasn't a real year. You're cut and you're no longer on the team. And as soon as anyone's cut from the team, any future cap hits accelerate up. So say again, the $10 million in 2023. So that's going to be $2 million in 2023, $2 million in 24, 25, 26, 27. So as soon as you get to 24 and he's cut, now you accelerate from 24 through 27. You accelerate all four of those years into 2024, and that would normally have been $8 million. So that's kind of the general idea of kind of how bonuses are accounted for on the cap. They're spread across the up to 5 years, the length of the contract, and you add the void years to extend the length of the contract when the contract is normally shorter than that.
Gotcha.
The last kind of complication, which you probably have heard, is the pre-June 1st or post-June 1st cut. Mm-hmm. I had said that if you were cut, everything accelerates to this year. The exception of that is if you're cut post-June 1st or designated as a post-June 1st, then it doesn't accelerate to this year. It accelerates to the following year. So with OBJ, they've got their $2 million in 2023, $2 million in 2024, and he's going to be a post-June 1st, so the remaining $6 million is going to hit in 2025. I just made those numbers up. They're not real, but that's the concept, is that the remaining years will kind of accelerate into the following year if it's a gotcha. post-June 1st.
And is it correct that you can only have, what is it, two post-June 1 cuts?
Yeah, two. Yep.
Gotcha.
So, okay. So Odell's going to be one for sure, based off on the way that they set up this contract. That he was originally a one-year deal, and it was going to all hit 2024, and then they did send a kind of a little game again and put in a fake year for 2024, and he's going to be cut in 2024, and it'll allow it to be a post-June 1st. So, they got a bunch of games and things like that they can play with the cap just to make it kind of complicated. But he'll be a post-June 1st. And the other big one that would be possible is probably Ronnie is the other one that would make most sense. So,
yeah, I got you. And now when you look at the team right now and who's currently under contract, who can you single out maybe a player or a couple players that you think are the most likely to be cap casualties for the Ravens to create additional space? Do you have like a couple guys?
Okay. Well, so Tyus Bowser is the first one. That's a pretty clear one. No idea what's going on or what happened with him last year. What a mess. But that's a $5.5 million that, hard to see them reconciling whatever went on behind the scenes. So, that's $5.5 million, which is a pretty large chunk, which would be really nice this year. After that, the perennial name that's always thrown out there is Patrick Ricard. That's $4 million. I don't know that I can see that happening. I think they like Patrick Ricard a lot more than maybe the fan base or some of the fan base does, or value him as much. I could see him getting a pay cut or kind of an adjustment of some sort, because the $4 million is quite a bit. You could see Morgan Moses as well. I really didn't think I would see him. I think he played pretty well last year. But the $5.5 million you would get for cutting him would go a long way as well. And I think at some point they're going to have to rely on their younger talent, whether that's whether that's Falele or Makari at right tackle, or someone that they draft. So they're going to have to make tough choices sometime. But I do think that, so they're going to have to make some tough choices. And I think, Morgan Moses may be one of those. I don't really see Ronnie Stanley, like I talked about before. Justice Hill, maybe. But I think they don't have any other running backs on the team right now. So it's pretty hard to make that move. you know, Patrick McCary, maybe, but again, I think he's too versatile, so I don't think that one. So there really aren't a ton of great options, which is, you know, good and bad. So, but I think I would say Bowser and then Moses and Ricard are the two after that.
Now, one of the other things I was curious to know about was the impact of the Justin Madubuike. I won't call it a saga. It hasn't gotten to be saga level yet, right? But certainly an impasse that the Ravens and him are at. Because if I understand it correctly, that if they tag him, all that money, because basically a one-year deal, right, all that money is going to hit this year, right? And if I understand correctly, at least as a stand today for the Ravens, they simply would not be able to make the math work. So do you – I guess really my question is, how do you see this thing playing out? Do you see the Ravens, do they have enough moves that they can make if they want him on the tag? Or are they at a point where the tag is just too tremendous that they've either got to come to a deal or let him walk? How do you see this thing going?
Yeah, great question. Yeah, I think that's going to be the first thing we see. It's going to be a huge thing that'll happen. You know, we're in the franchise tag window right now. It goes between the 20th until March 5th. So
we won't know anything until March 5th at 4 p.m., right?
Right.
That's how the Ravens roll. You
know, Cincinnati already told us, you know, they let theirs go, mm-hmm. but I don't think the Ravens are going to, you know, announce early what they're doing. Gosh. So I'd be patient with them. But, you know, the tag for Justin Madubuike is $22.1 million, which is a large chunk of change. And you're spot on where if you tag him, you've got to reflect all of that cap this year. So as I mentioned earlier, right now it's looking like 11.8 is the number that I had. So the question is, where are you going to get the 11 million? We talked about a couple of things that you could do to cut, but one of the things that I think they can do right away, which is kind of it's aggressive, but they're going to have to make these moves, is to restructure some of Lamar Jackson's contract. He's not going anywhere. They're going to have to pay him. The cap's going to get huge in the future. Like, just do it. Like it's not going to change anything in the future of what your decision making is with Lamar. So by restructuring him, you can save $11 million in this year's cap. So again, he's not losing money. He's not doing anything to save the team or anything like that. So it's just a reclassification of how he's being paid. So instead of being paid, you know, weekly, he's getting paid in a lump sum to start now, right? Like if your boss came and told you, I'm going to pay you in a lump sum, you're not sacrificing for the company. You're just getting money up ahead. So that's one thing I want to clarify is that.
And is that a choice? Does he have to agree to it, or is this something the team can do and he just has to, I mean, not that it's a bad deal, but you know,
it's a little bit hard to tell. Okay. It's in many of the contracts now, as I understand it, that they're just kind of automatically able to do it.
Okay.
So, and the other aspect is that it's really not, it's not detrimental to the player at all. It's actually right. advantageous because you got the money up ahead of time, so you can get interest on it. So, you know, it is nice. So,
yeah, man, money's expensive these days. Give me that money now.
Right? That's exactly. That's right. So go ahead and give me that $11 million now. So I'd be all right with it. So, you know, I think it depends is the answer. I don't know. It all depends on his contract, whether it's included in there, whether it's automatic or not, but it's pretty much, we very rarely see a player push back. And right. if they do, it's generally in order to kind of like get to the free agent market quicker. I think Tyreek Hill did it back in the day. But Lamar's not, I don't think Lamar would do that. It wouldn't make much sense as far as trying to get a good team around him. So we've got the 11.8 million. You add in the 11 million from Lamar's restructure. You've got the 22 million that you need for Justin Madubuike. So they can do it without too much. So, but then what they do is then they're in a rough shape as far as the rest of the offseason and going into 24 goes. So leaving him on a tag would be really hard because they're, you know, between practice squad, in-season injury replacement, draft picks, things like that. Generally, you need like $15 million of additional money. So that's not even additional free agents or anything that they want to bring in. So you need to get back cap money. So what you could be doing is tagging him in order to buy more time and then be able to extend him. But what they really need to do in order to be able to have a good offseason for building the roster for 2024 is get to a place where they're extending him. Because if you're able to extend him, they can get the cap down to something like $10 million. So it's even if they're paying $22 million, $23 million per year, the first year cap number would be around $10 million. That'd be kind of consistent with how they structured the Roquan deal. So, you know, that extra $12 million of cap space would go a long way towards the 2024 kind of in-season and off-season additional costs. So if they sign him, doing it with an extension would be really key. So,
and would that, and does that same, you mentioned Lamar being a candidate for a restructuring, would the same be said for Roquan Smith?
Yeah, there's a few players that you could restructure. Roquan would give you $3.6 million. Mark Andrews would give you around $5 million. Wow. Marlon Humphreys would give you around $7.9 million. You know, some people balk at that a little bit because, you know, he's getting older. He has had some off years, and you kind of question whether you want to push further money. But at this point, they're kind of just going to have to do what they have to do in order to gain cap space. Yeah. All of his money is going to be guaranteed anyway. So his full 2024 salary is going to be guaranteed early in March. So it's not like you're locking in additional cash that, you know, he could, you know, become injured or whatever that you wouldn't have to pay him or something like that. So so Marlon would be another like $8 million. Marcus Williams is around $7 million. And then Ronnie would be around $7 million. So there are a number of players that they could restructure and get a you know, get some more money, get some more cap. Excuse me. So again, that's not saving any money. Is what it's doing is allocating some of the money that they're paying this year into future cap. So it's kind of borrowing from the future.
Now I know we want to talk about some guys that we have that have hit the free agent market and what our possibility is of retaining them. But I do, before we ask that, I just want to ask one general question. What's your overall feeling, your optimism towards this year's salary cap situation that we're in, right? Are you optimistic that the Ravens will go through the hoops and the gymnastics to work it out to where we can still?
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have the room to get the guys that we are hoping to get and retain the guys we're hoping to retain, or do you feel less optimistic based on the situation and think maybe, look, we're kind of in handcuffs at this point. We're not going to be able to do too much.
Yeah, I think it's, for me personally, I'm probably closer to the second one, though I'm kind of, you know, a little bit more conservative when it comes to some of these things. But I think it really depends on where the Ravens want to be. You know, we talked about those restructures. They have a lot of triggers where they can be aggressive and can create cap space. And they can, when they structure those free agents like they did with Odell, they can be aggressive with how they structure those contracts where they don't actually have a very large 2024 cap hit. So it really comes down to what the Ravens themselves are feeling and how aggressive they want to be. There are a number of things they can do to create space. It's just how aggressive they want to play it. In the past, they've been less aggressive. But 2023, we saw them be pretty aggressive. So mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised to see them go pretty aggressive in this offseason, make a number of restructures, and continue to kind of recognize not just the short window, but this is a key window where, you know, you want to build a great team around Lamar and you've got some great guys around him. So I think they will be relatively aggressive. And they are in a decent spot. I think the number one challenge is with Justin Madubuike. If they can't extend him, I really hope they don't just sit with a tag, because if they do just that, then I think it really does handcuff them quite a bit in what they can do. So I think that will tell us a lot, is where they land with him on what they're able to do.
Yeah, because correct me if I'm wrong, like people just say, well, restructure them all. Well, that's to the detriment of future years, right? It's going to make future years tighter and more difficult. And now one thing I will say is we've seen the early projections of what the 25 jump could be like in the cap, and those numbers are pretty substantial. So do you think the Ravens could bank on the fact that this is going to be another year where it takes a bigger than expected jump like it did this year and say, you know, we will go all in on these restructures and just hope that 25's cap takes a similar big jump that it did this year?
Yeah, I think they likely will bank on that sum. I don't think that it's reasonable necessarily to expect, you know, the extra $10 million. I think this is kind of I wouldn't be surprised if it was a one-time deal, kind of adjusting for kind of the previous down years for COVID and things like that. But, you know, they do have the big TV contracts and everything like that. So there could be additional money in the future leading to future large cap increases. So, I think it will be interesting to see what they do. I don't think that they already have spent money into 2025. So it's not like they just spent 2024's money. They've already spent 2025, 2026. They have plenty of money they already spent ahead, right? So, so they've already spent some of that. You know, they've been pushing Lamar's numbers. They're pretty big. Roquan's numbers are pretty big next year or in 2025. So they already are pretty aggressive spending 2025's numbers. So I think they'll kind of play a balance and not be too aggressive because they've already kind of done that some.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Okay.
What's your take? Yeah. What's your take on the, I don't want to give this to you unexpected, this question, if you're not, I don't think we said this in the pre-show. So if prepare for it, that's totally fine. But I have a feeling you might be. Based on what you've been answering, so I'm not too concerned about it. But we just did a video on Saquon Barkley or Derrick Henry, and everyone's talking about Josh Jacobs. It's a running back heavy market. Mm-hmm. With it being a running back heavy market, one, do you see the Ravens making a run for a running back? And it seems to me that it's kind of unfortunate for these guys that they're all kind of hitting it at the same time, because in my mind, it might suppress the market for them a little bit. And that could be advantageous to the Ravens. So really my question is, see the Ravens using their seemingly sparing resources to go after a running back in free agency and making a splash there?
Yeah, so I think you're spot on. And I think it's a buyer's market for sure with the running backs. There are so many good running back free agents right now. There's, you know, I saw a list today, you know, 10, 15, big name. None of them are getting tagged. None of them are
crazy.
Are going to be there. So I think a lot of that, you know, there's going to be a ton of options out there and not too many teams wanting to spend on running backs. You know, we've seen teams, you know, start, you know, trying to save that position. With the Ravens, what I think that they'll do is let the first wave or two go of running backs. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen that a number of times in other free agent periods where they'll let the first, you know, four sign with the top running back needy teams. And now they'll take the fifth guy and pay half the price and love it. You know, that's what I would guess that they would do is wait for one of the top guys and wait till, you know, most of the running back needy teams have already taken someone and paid, you know, kind of top of the market, even the depressed market. And I would see that I could see them signing a medium to big name for a kind of lower number. So,
Dan, you are breaking everyone's heart. You are breaking everyone's heart, Dan, because that means that we ain't getting Saquon, we ain't getting Jacobs, and we ain't getting Barkley.
King Henry is coming here for a discount, Jimbo. Okay, yeah. It's happening.
You never know.
It's happening. Hey, Jimbo, I must say you've distracted a bit of the chat with the fact that somehow you were able to go through the tunnel and not lose service, and they're just blown away.
Shout out to Verizon, baby.
There we go.
Not sponsored, but can you hear me now?
That's right. Dr. Uncle Bob says that, you didn't miss a beat. So shout out to you.
Appreciate it.
For never losing signal. As we continue to talk to Dan Reese, you guys can follow Dan Reese at DPReese8 on Twitter or X. I don't know if we'll ever, you know, stop calling it Twitter, but As we continue to talk to Dan here, and thank you again for spending some time with us. I know that Jimmy went to the free agent market, but I want to touch one more free agent in house to see if we can keep. I think Everyone has loved the combination of Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen, and it seems like those two guys love playing with each other. Most assume that Patrick Queen has priced himself out of Baltimore. However, Eric DaCosta did kind of throw out there, well, there's the maybes and the ifs, and nothing is certain. Any avenue where you see the Ravens being able to re-sign Patrick Queen?
Nope.
Dang.
Nope, sorry. Not nope. Really. I don't. Maybe you could choose him over Justin Madubuike, but I don't see that happening.
Sounds like a bad idea, right?
So, you know, if you look at PFF, Brad does a great job over there at projecting contracts. So that's another place I would absolutely recommend. They've got him at $18 million per year.
Woo!
You're not paying that in addition to the $20 million for Roquan. It's just, it'd be too hard to pay two linebackers that much money.
Dang, man. Well, all the Patrick Queen fans. Jimbo, look, hey, he's already got us blocked, Jimmy. So at least we don't have to worry about trying to get unblocked from the guy. He's going to be gone. So he can keep us blocked wherever he's playing linebacker. But Jimmy mentioned the running back market, but I think wide receiver has been also a huge topic of conversation, even though, you know, I'm surprised because you look at the cupboard and it's not bare like it's been in past years for the Ravens. They still have Rashad Bateman, still have Zay Flowers, among others.
But never enough, Glenn, never enough.
That's right. And let's not forget about the tight ends that are pretty darn good pass catchers too. But big, big names are set to hit the market. Brandon Ayuk seems to be on the outs with San Fran. Mike Evans, who, I mean, I still remember when the guy was drafted. I love me some Mike Evans. Mike Williams, I think, from L.A. might also be available. Of course, we saw T. Higgins is going to get the tag from Cincinnati. But any chance the Ravens could maybe be active enough to add a number two level type wide receiver in free agency?
Yeah, I think they could. And I think the key with that would be if they're not signing Justin Madubuike. I think that would be the thing. It would be very difficult to sign him, whether it's a franchise tag or an extension to that large of a contract, and then get a big wide receiver, right? Which would also be probably $20 million plus per year. So, I would have a, like, could they do it? Yes. Again, you know, you can be aggressive and you can do it. The team can create a ton of cap space and sign a lot of players and push a lot of cap. So, like, yes, you can make the math work. They can do it. Will they do it? I think that's less likely unless they aren't signing Justin Madubuike, whether it's because they didn't tag him or they tagged and traded him, whatever the case might be. If they decided to go a different way, I could see their one big splash being in the wide receiver market. I could see that happening. Yep.
Hmm. Interesting.
20 million, man. The market, every position is just so freaking expensive nowadays. I mean, dang, it's tough out there. So it looks like it's Madubuike. Could it be either Madubuike or like a combination of two guys on the other side, like maybe Pat Queen and another guy? Or, like, I can see it doesn't look like it can be Madubuike and someone else, but could it be a combination of other two guys if Madubuike is not in the picture?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, I think you could do, you know, probably not a tier one wide receiver. Like, you know, Mike Evans is, again, projected for $23 million per year. So you know, he'd be hard to do him and somebody else, right? So, but could you do someone, you know, a little lower down, maybe, you know, Darnell Mooney, maybe, you know, $9 million, Gabe Davis, $12 million, something like that. So you could do one of those guys and then, you know, an edge. I don't see them signing Patrick Queen no matter what for $18 million. Yeah. I have a hard time seeing them put that much money in the inside linebacker position, period. Unless his market is not there, which I don't think it will be. I think there will be a market for him. Will it get to $18 million? I don't know. But I think he will have plenty of guys interested in him. So I don't think it will be a situation where he comes back to play for the Ravens for much cheaper. I do think you could see someone like an edge player, a decent, you know, Clowney for $9 million or $10 million, and someone like, you know, King like Henry. Mooney. So I could see that being a move. those two guys instead. So
what about King Henry and
Glenn's really trying to manifest this.
Look, man. I want to see King Henry and Lamar Jackson in the same backfield. Okay, Jim Bell. I want to see it. I need to see it. But you're telling me that Clowney wouldn't break the bank because I think, I mean, the career he had, I mean, the year he had last year, career year for him, I think he'd like to come back. I think Ravens fans would like to see him back because if he's not, you're looking at an edge group that's led by Adafe Owe, but, you know, Ajabo after that, you don't know what you're getting out of this guy as he's had nothing but injuries since he's made it to the league. So it's clear they're going to have to address the edge group. What's the difference between Clowney and Kyle Van Noy as you see it right now as far as a price tag?
Yeah, looking at what PFF has, they've got Clowney at $9 million versus Kyle Van Noy is much further down at, let's see, at like $3 million. So that's a pretty significant difference. I think it's a little bit, you know, Clowney's sack production, Clowney's run defense, I think is pretty top-notch as well. I was surprised to see that Kyle Van Noy was that low. You know, if his market's $3 million, sign me up. I'm right there for another year of Kyle Van Noy.
Yeah.
But what well, I
just
what
chill
I
out
do
with
think
the personal
is,
with the 15-yard penalties, Kyle. Chill out.
Exactly. Yeah, settle down with that. Yep. But what I do think is that the Ravens will be active in the veteran edge market for sure. You know, I think it may be later in the offseason, like last year. But I do think they will find someone to supplement their edge depth, whether it's, you know, Marcus Davenport, Kyle Van Noy. There's just a ton of edge players out there right now, veteran edge players that and just like last year's offseason, those vets aren't in any hurry to sign, so they'll wait. So unfortunately, I think again we're going to have to be patient with that one, and our edge depth will look questionable for quite a bit of the offseason, but then, you know, by the time the season comes around, it'll be in a decent spot, I think.
All right, Dan.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is what I gotta know from you. I gotta know this. Put your neck out on the line for this one. What is your most likely biggest splash for the Ravens, right? Like relative to the Ravens that they will make in this offseason? Like as an example, do you think that they get the deal done with Medibike? Do you think that they get that tier two wide receiver? If you have to, you know, bet the house on it. What's your bet?
Oh, that's a good one. And I don't know. Let me try here. So I do think they will get a top tier running back. I think that they will. I don't know if it'll be Derrick Henry or Saquon, but I do think they will get someone who is top tier running back from the free agent market. I think there's been too much smoke about that. You talk about, you know, they were active last year on the trade deadline for it. So I think there's too much smoke around that. I think they will find a way to get a top tier running back this offseason. That'd be my guess.
Wow. And who would be the cheapest option of those tier one guys between Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs is a name, and even DeAndre Swift, I think I've seen his name kicked around as well.
Yeah, so DeAndre Swift is probably the cheapest out of all of those. You know, you've got Swift and Eckler are probably below the top tier, you know, that's got Henry, Pollard, Jacobs, Saquon. Those top four are kind of the top. Okay. I would guess that probably Henry's the lowest out of those top four is my guess because of age. Mm-hmm. But I'm not 100% sure. It's kind of like pick your flavor a little bit with those guys. But I think, you know, then you got Eckler and Swift, and then it kind of drops off a bit. But I do think we could also see some cuts. So, you know, there's been rumblings about, you know, Mixon or Chubb. So I wouldn't be surprised if there are some high, you know, big name running back cuts as well that come this offseason. So
Now, I don't care what his injury history is. If you put Nick Chubb in Baltimore,
I
will get his jersey tomorrow.
Is this guy still playing? I mean, that knee.
He's Wolverine. It doesn't even matter. He's not planet.
Whew. That's the same knee from Georgia, right? That thing got folded. I'm pretty sure it's the same knee he tore in Georgia. And then
better. He's going to strengthen him.
We can rebuild it. Yep.
That's right.
Jimbo, love him some Chubb. Okay. Dude. All right. I mean, I wouldn't be mad at it. I just am like, geez, dude, how much abuse can one part of your body withstand?
That's the big thing with the running backs, right? Big part of the market is that those veteran running backs, that they drop off pretty quickly. We've seen that a number of times. So anyone with the injury risk, it's a pretty big risk to take. So we'll see. But that'd be my guess is a running back. But I think the Justin Madubuike is going to be really interesting. Everyone is just assuming it's going to get done and that they're definitely going to lock him up. But it's going to be hard. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
definitely.
Hopefully he's happy here, and hopefully that helps, with the negotiations. But
thanks, Aaron Donald, for pushing that one up.
Aaron Donald, Chris Jones.
His agent is in there like, hey, man, he played like Aaron Donald. He deserves Aaron Donald money.
Yeah, that's what I'd be saying if I was his agent. That's for sure. Is there an upcoming deadline or – because I know that February 19th was a big one for those dead years to hit with guys like Zeitler and Aguilar. Is there an upcoming next date that Ravens fans should be kind of cognizant of that this could be a date somewhere before or at this date we could see some movement for the Ravens?
Yeah, good question. They're going to be coming quickly here. So the franchise tag window, like I said, was right now, and it ends March 5th. So they're going to have to make a decision by then. And every team has to be under the cap by March 13th. So if they tag him, they're going to have to make at least that Lamar move by the 13th. So we're going to see the tag decision and then any kind of associated moves by the 13th. I wouldn't be surprised if we see some other moves regardless of what the tag decision is by the 13th. So that'll be a big one. The other big one that's coming up is around Ronnie Stanley, March 17th. He's got a roster bonus of $4 million. So that $15 million we talked about, $4 million of it is going to be paid on March 17th. Mm. So if you don't make a move by March 17th, you're now only going to be saving $11 million. So you want to make your decision by March 17th as far as Stanley and what you're doing with him, which makes it, again, much harder because you won't know if you got anyone in the draft. You won't know if you got anyone in free agency, if there's other options out there. So that makes the decision harder with Stanley. So which is another reason why I think they probably stick it out this year is that's just cutting it too tight. Mm-hmm. So I think after March 17th, if he's still on the team, it'll be more likely that he'll stick around. So,
Wow.
Fun.
Man, there's a lot coming up in the next 3 weeks.
Yep. It's a busy time for sure. Yep.
Yeah, and do you see any other candidates for the trade or for the tag on the team outside of Madubuike? Like, do you look at any other guy going, oh, I could see the Ravens maybe tagging that guy?
Yeah. If they get a deal done, is there any way that they just tag PQ because they want to keep him one more year? Like, does that make any sense?
Let me look at what the tag would be for him. Let's see. PQ would be the tag would be so 24 million. So,
oh my
god. No.
How did it get so high? I thought the linebacker position was being undervalued. What's going on?
So
here?
The linebackers, they only have one classification. They don't differentiate outside linebacker versus inside linebacker when it comes to tags. So
inside linebackers will never be tagged.
They're just getting benefited like crazy, man. Yeah.
So sometimes the classifications can help you and sometimes they hurt you. For O-line, they just do one thing. So helps that helps with the tackle, but hurts when you're trying to tag a center. So, no, I don't think PQ would be a good option as well. Nope. And I don't really think they have any other free agents that are that top of market. So I think it's really Justin Madubuike or nobody, which there's nothing wrong with not tagging anyone, right? That's not, you don't have to do it. It's really best if you're not. That means you're kind of in a good spot where you're, you know, signing the people you should sign and not being kind of in an awkward spot where you're having to have a 1-year deal. So,
yeah, for sure.
Man, that's an expensive tag got expensive real quick.
Well, Don, I'll tell you what, man, it's been an absolute blast having you on the show tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's been fun. I feel like I've gotten a lot smarter. I learned something right off the jump and learned something absolutely throughout. I want to see our buddy here.
Don C got to say.
Our guy Don C says, boys, James, Glenn, DK, bro, the Ravens lost. Sorry, boys. My therapist said I can watch Ravens content again. Sorry for the hiatus, boys. I'm back. Appreciate you coming back out here, Don. It certainly would not be the same not seeing your name in the chat. I'm glad you've moved on from the loss. It was a tough one. I mean, look, Dan, you're a Ravens fan, which is makes, you know, having you on all the much better that you, you know, have some stake in the game from a fan perspective. How did you handle that loss in the AFC Championship game?
Yeah, it was pretty rough. It was pretty rough. You know, I think the expectations were real high going into the postseason, and they had a path. I think they kind of some self-inflicted wounds, and it was pretty rough. So, you know,
don't get in the way of Taylor Swift. That's all I got to say.
You know, I think they'll rebound and we'll get another chance, but it was definitely a rough one for sure. So,
well, Dan, I can't thank you enough for joining us. I think you helped me out a lot, and I'm sure Ravens fans in the chat would certainly agree. But yeah, thanks a lot for coming on. And if it's okay with you, we'll probably reach out to you, you know, later on in the off season to get you back on after some of these dominoes fall to kind of get a recap on where they're at. And but yeah, thanks a lot for, and guys, DP Reese 8 on X, you guys can follow him there and keep up to date on salary cap information. But yeah, Dan, thanks again.
Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure, guys.
All right. Have a good night.
You too.
All right. So, I mean, I feel a lot smarter here, Jimbo. I mean, he helped me out a lot because I didn't know, first of all, I mean, just at the end there, I had no idea that there's not a difference inside and outside linebackers.
Or linemen. I didn't know that either about the linemen. You know, kind of same idea.
I mean, I remember the famous Jimmy Graham when he was a tight end and they were trying to, and he's like, I'm not a damn tight end. I catch the football. I want to be tagged like a daggone wide receiver. And man, but that certainly benefits the inside linebackers, knowing those pass rushers on the outside are helping them get in.
Well, and it's something that you also have to strategically maneuver when you're talking about your offensive linemen and your inside linebackers, knowing that like it's a deal done or it's you're going to let them walk. That's what it is, you know. But you don't have the extra year, you don't have the extra time, you don't have it, right? So it's just another thing to consider. But yeah, no, that was great. And then the explanation of the void years was also awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And any of you guys hopped in late, go back to the beginning of the video. But promise it's worth your time because he really goes into some of the things that we read about. We don't fully understand them, right? So I think that was super edifying for all of us. If you're a fan, of the Ravens, it's going to be really interesting to see what they do with Madubuike. My gut tells me they get a deal done. This seems like the type of deal that the Ravens will happily pay for. He seems like the, you know, one of the few guys that they're going to invest in, right? Like every year, if you guys come up, you got your Ronnie Stanley's of the world, obviously your Lamar Jackson, your Marlon Humphreys in recent history, like those are the pillars, right? So your Roquan Smith's, right? Like, I don't know if I see the Ravens letting this guy walk unless they believe it was a blip.
I mean, that would be the only thing, but if you look at his career, he's ascended.
Every year he's gotten better.
There's no reason not to think that he'll get even better this upcoming year. And if you're not going to pay a guy that you draft, you develop, and as soon as he becomes, you know, the player you hoped he could be, you let the guy leave. I mean, what's that message sending to the rest of the guys in the locker room? What's the message you're sending to the fan base? I get that you can't pay everyone, but if you're gonna pick and choose, I mean, this has got to be one of the guys you pick and choose. I mean, he's homegrown. He fits the Ravens culture. He's certainly a guy that you can be proud of to root for. So yeah, I mean, I hope they can find a way to get it done. I certainly understand the difficulty in it. Let's see. There we go. Sorry, DK. I was trying to read your message here. But yeah,
Glenn can't talk and walk at the same time. He'll trip on his own 2 feet.
Look, that's why we had to have Dan on. I can't even understand. I can't understand these numbers. I know Dan graduated from Hopkins. Pierney got his Oh, Bob Pierney, a.k.a. the legend, got his master's at Hopkins. And he's a math teacher for 500 years. And I don't even think he could tell me what all these numbers mean. Okay, Jimbo, I'm dense. All right.
Hey, it's okay. Dense. It's all right. You know, it's all good.
We all have our strengths, okay? I'm tall. Right. That's what I have. I'm tall. I can reach things on top of tall shelves. That's what I do.
Go ahead and put that on his resume. What's your greatest strength in an interview?
Dude, I can reach everything on the top shelf. Everything.
That's awesome. Well, I tell you what, I had a blast tonight. It's always good to see you guys coming out. Make sure to stay tuned. We're going to get you prepared for the upcoming events. Of course, we got the combine around the corner. This gives us an opportunity to review the Ravens as a whole and see kind of what they need to do going into the offseason. Speculation continues to abound in the NFL. So make sure to stay tuned with us. Turn on notifications. And of course, subscribe if you haven't already. And
Hit that bell, guys. Hit that bell because, as Don C is saying, you don't know when we're going to pop up on this screen.
That's right. You just don't know.
We were pretty consistent during the season, but at this point, you don't know when we're going to pop up. So hit that notification bell so you can keep up to date.
Likewise. Baby number two's around the corner, so you don't know.
That's right.
If we're going top of the morning, you know, midnight feeding, whenever we're coming on live, Glenn's going to have sleepies in his eyes, and we're going to be talking Ravens. So make sure you guys tune in. Talk to you guys soon. Have a great night.
See you.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.